and welcome to episode 238 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of Indigo Park, and joining me this week are the creator of Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the comics man who's never running scared, it's Tony Esmond.
Oh, Billy Crystal reference. Yes. That is actually a really good film.
I know. Who's his partner?
What film's this?
Gregory Hines.
Yeah. They're two brilliant cops. Are they chasing a serial killer? Or I forgot what they're doing.
They just decide to retire, don't they? And they get bored.
But it's actually an action comedy, isn't it?
It's really good.
What film is it?
Running Scared.
Oh, yeah. I've not seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Nice. Yes, welcome to the show, folks. there's convention season's about to kick off all over the shop. Me and Dan are going to be at events soon coming up, which we'll talk about in a second. Tony's going to be away. A jet setter. So it's, you know, we thought what better time to talk about some of the things that some of you out there might not actually know what we were talking about when we've talked about it on previous episodes. So we've got a brilliant interview coming up.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
One of our favourite people.
Yeah, one of our favourite people. Should we say it? We might as well say it. It's Arena from Europe Comics.
Yeah, we announced it already.
Yeah, we announced it on the socials. But she spent some time with us and talking about Angoulême and what Europe Comics have got coming up. And it's a fantastic chat. You'll discover more books to put on your wish lists. And also, you'll wish that you were going to this comics festival.
Just watch me acting weird.
Yeah. When we get like an email from Arena and it's got like half a dozen or a dozen like European comics on it, and you read them, bloody hell, the work in this.
Yeah.
They're amazing. Like if you're not getting into the European comics, you're really missing out.
Yeah.
I read some real dreck this week from my pull list. I got Atlantis Attacks.
Okay.
Oh, God. It looks awful. And then I'd sent you some images from Marauders, the new issue of Marauders.
It really looks like this production line stuff.
Yeah. And then open that Django book she's going to talk about in a minute, and you think, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more effort in a page of that than there is in a whole issue of these, you know?
Yeah.
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 I know the scheduling's different and stuff like that, but bloody hell.
Yeah. It's a completely different world. And it's a world that we think that you lovely people would enjoy more. So, you know, and Europe Comics doing great stuff. I mean, we've talked about it for a while now, and we always like to dip our toe in reading those books from time to time. But
we also talk a little bit about the reverse, the English comics going that way, and the fact they are looking for books to translate into French and Belgian, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
It's an interesting world at the moment.
Yes, it is indeed. Do you know what else is an interesting world, Tony?
My world, my little world.
Not that. That's a terrifying landscape of post-apocalyptic...
Hellscape.
It's a hellscape of sex, drugs and violence.
It's a little bit cockeyed.
Yeah.
Yeah, more than a little.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, we're not talking about that world.
No, we're talking about the world of Comic House, our lovely sponsor. Yes, the indie comic marketplace. We love them, and they put up with us. But no, if you go to comichouse.com, you can see that there's a huge selection of titles on the Comic House database. Lots of indie creators list their books on there for free and start selling. It's another avenue to get your books out there. I think they only charge 1p. For every sale, something like that.
Nice.
It's amazing. But what is even better is their app, which is they have a feature section on it, and the selection is growing all of the time. What's on there at the moment, Dan?
We've got Captain Cosmic issue 3, Hooper Detective of the Strange issue 1, Raid on the Fourth, which I don't know anything about. That looks great.
Yeah, it looks three panels. I've seen that before.
I've not seen that.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Three panels of what? That's a Rick Jackson experimental comic.
That's a fantastic. Well, actually, it's not just Rick Jackson.
No, just
his son.
His son Dylan Jackson Gibbs.
Yeah, there you go.
Awesome,
brilliant stuff. Book.
And Kelly Crimson Volume 1 Issue 1, which looks.
I had a look at that. That's quite gory. That one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also uploaded that comic I worked on about over 10 years ago called Retake.
Oh, yes. Someone did that.
Is that on there now, is it?
Yeah. It should be on there, yeah.
Yeah. Hold the phone on that one, Dan, because we'll come back to that in a second. If you want to see what Dan's talking about and all of these other fantastic titles, then go to comichouse.com, find out more. There's a 14-day free trial, and I think once you do the free trial, you'll stick around for the subscription. It's only £3 a month. And let's face it, we're all wasting that on a month on one title we probably shouldn't be reading. Whereas you can read a whole load of brilliant comics this way. So check it out at Comic House. As we were saying just then, Dan, before we get stuck into the meat of this week's episode, I had no idea this existed.
No, I didn't either.
And it just appeared on the radar. Well, when I got to know your work, and even before I got to know you or really had any contact, it was Vanguard. I was a reader of Vanguard and a fan of your work, you know, then. So I wasn't aware. I know you did some Reynard City stuff.
Yeah.
Before
that. I knew
about
that one, yeah.
Yeah, and I knew about that. But I had no... What is Retake? And I know it's an early work, isn't it? What year was that?
It was must have been about 12, 13 years ago I started doing it. And I wanted to basically like get back into drawing comics proper, because I'd taken a long time out like studying illustration and graphic design at university and didn't have too much time for comics. And I was like, right, I want to do my own comic, but I'm not at the level where I'm happy doing it on my own. I've got a lot of things to kind of work out. So I was on the Pencil Jack forums, and there was a writer looking for someone to do some collaborative work with. And he had the story idea, and it was going to go for 4 issues, but it went for 5. And then I thought, well, I'm going to get my head around web comics, how to do comics online. And as I was drawing this comic, I was sort of researching how to do it for myself. So when that project was done, I was ready to launch Vanguard. So that's how I did it.
So it's quite a lot of learnings you had on that first.
Essentially, that was like the dry run, as it were, to find out how to do what I wanted to do.
I mean, obviously we've talked about and you announced it on like social media and stuff, and we talked about the importance of just getting all your work on Comic House, but at the same time there is that sometimes when it's an older work, we have this, oh, I don't want anyone to see this. I haven't had the chance to retake yet. I'm thoroughly looking forward to it.
Yeah, but, me too. Yeah.
So what was it like for you sort of looking at, you know, rediscovering it again, and what made you think, yeah, I'm gonna put it out there for everyone to sort of see?
Well, there's very clunky in places. You can see kind of where I've come from and where it goes to. It's more of an effort just to show people kind of you keep plugging at it and keep working and getting better and better, because I think the stuff I do now is a lot better than when I was doing it then. But yeah, it's just kind of like you can put comics out. You just do it gradually, 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 and before you know it, you built up your own comic ready for release.
Yeah.
Just go for it,
man. Yeah.
So we heartily recommend that everyone checks that out, and then obviously when they look at the latest Vanguard, they just think, how far did he come?
Yeah, I'm sort of very nervous about putting old comics of mine out.
Yeah,
it's because most of them are illegal, Tony.
Yeah, some of them are quite lively. There's some stuff in there I no doubt will get a flare back on social media.
Well,
there's
some titles that I know you've got printed copies of, and you still won't let me and Dan have copies of them.
I know.
Yes, we're not happy about that, Tony. We're not happy.
I will do. I promise you I will do. Next time we're all together, I'll give you some. John Tucker has seen them. I gave them to John Tucker.
Oh, so, the betrayal. The betrayal. I mean, yeah, John, we love you. You're one of the family. You know that. But the betrayal. Absolutely.
I've just read the synopsis for that Raid on the Fourth on Comic House. Sounds great.
Okay.
Shall I read it out?
Go for it.
The true story of the first air raid over Britain of World War II and the first combat action involving the famous Spitfire. On 16th of October 1939, Germany launched its first air raid on Britain, targeting ships in the River Forth estuary near Edinburgh in Scotland. Little did they know that two squadrons of brand new Spitfires had just been deployed in the area. Part-time pilots of the Royal Air Force Auxiliary were pitted against the veteran pilots of the Luftwaffe in this historic battle for the skies.
That sounds old-school British comics.
Yeah.
Commando, battle. Yeah, Hotspur. Yeah.
Suck on this, Fritzy. Daka, daka, daka. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Who's that by?
Colin Maxwell.
Right, okay.
Nice. Well,
I don't know Colin's stuff, but...
Yeah, no. That sounds great.
Good stuff. Good to be on there. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So get on. I know we've essentially finished the sponsorship ad, but all those great comics are on there and retake as well. So go check them out, people.
Yeah.
You know you want to, and you definitely gonna want to stick around for the next hour or so, because coming up now is a wonderful talk with Arena from Europe Comics. Yeah, just talking about the brilliant time that her and Tony are gonna have in Angoulême. Okay, the festival known as Angoulême is just around the corner, and we thought, what better time to step back into the world of European comics? Don't laugh, Tony, when I'm trying to be professional. Thank you. Thank you very much, my dear. Yes, we're stepping back into the world of European comics. And who better to talk with us about that than our friend, Arena Polyanina from Europe Comics. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back to me now.
Thanks very much for having me back. It's what, like my third time now?
Third time.
Yeah.
Do I get a special hat or something? No?
Yes, you do. You get a special hat. That's how we work it.
And you get a lot of sympathy. Yes, as we've mentioned it a few times on the show in, leading up to this, and certainly Tony's off to the festival himself. We've talked a bit about Angoulême. There are some people out there who probably don't know what it is. We're going to talk about lots of different things, books, festivals, all kinds in this interview. But for some people who don't know what Angoulême is, let's just, because they might think, what are they talking about? Where? What? What is this? So should we just start off with, what exactly is it? And, you know, what is this magical place that is happening?
It's up a mountain.
Yeah.
I've not been before. Arena, you've been before, haven't you?
Yes, it's going to be my third or fourth year. I go every year, yeah. And it's magical. it's the biggest festival you can get in France. So it's like the comics mecca over there. And it's a very cute medieval town. But you've rightly pointed out that it's on a hill. And that creates a lot of extra challenges while being there. And if you look at the map and you want to go from one venue to another, it might seem like it's super close, but actually there's a steep hill that goes all the way down. And during my first year, it was probably the most challenging year because I did not know the city at all. And getting from one place to another is a bit of a challenge. So if you get to a few bumps in your first year, don't be too hard on yourself.
So your cardio has to be really good for that.
Yeah.
And good.
I think Sam said the fact was, we're staying with the family, me and Sam from Nobrow. Yeah. And he said, oh, they're going to pick us up. And I said, why is that? And he went, well, you got to drag your bags all the way up the cobbled hill.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, okay. Oh, well, fair enough. It's not very nice of them.
Okay. Yeah.
They can do that. Well, the thing about Angoulême is also because it's such a small town, there is literally like two hotels in there. And that's why you are staying with a family and I'm staying with a family. We're all staying with families. But I don't know, from my experience, it's great because they give you great breakfast and the houses are really nice. And there's just really nice atmosphere that you won't get in, you know, in comic cons and bigger cities.
Yeah. I mean,
this is why I've spartan myself up. This is why I've cut my hair and shaved my beard off, because I know that they don't want all this weird English hairy monster in your spare room. You know what I mean?
You'll come back out of it French.
I will. Yeah. I am slightly Gaelic. I do have a touch of that about me.
I'm learning so much about you this week, Tony. I am learning so much about you this week.
You know I'm partly French. I've told you before.
Really? You're parts of many things.
I thought you were part Scottish.
No.
That as well, I guess. Kind
of, yeah, I don't talk about that side of things.
No, he's a Highlander.
Well, he was French, wasn't he? He sounded really Scottish, didn't he?
Yeah. So basically, Angoulême is it's a comic festival that takes over this. Do you say it was a city or is it like a large town or...?
I would call it a large town.
Yeah.
It's not a metropolis or anything like that. It's a small, cute town. There's a lot of restaurants. There's obviously a lot of cultural spots because a lot of the events take place like in the Cinematheque or in the conservatory and the town hall. And then they put up these huge tents all over town. So, yeah, if I could compare it to something, it would be Leeds, the Thought Bubble.
The last venue, the town centre one, yeah.
Scale, though, perhaps.
On a bigger scale, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because there is one tent that's dedicated to all the publishers, so you have all the books on sale and you have the authors doing the signings.
Yeah.
And then there's another massive tent that's artists, like artist alleys, There's another tent which is dedicated to rights people, like, so we will be based there, and this is where all the deals happen.
Yeah, I think that's where we're doing quite a lot of stuff, because we got a few meetings and stuff there.
Okay, well, yeah, hoping to see you there.
Also. Yeah, definitely.
We
yeah.
want to have a business.
What meeting. Do you mean you're hoping to see me? I'm going to be with you the whole time, Marina. I don't know if we discussed this, but we can be pals. Are you in
the same family?
No, for you, I hope not. Do you know what I mean? But no, we're meeting up on the Saturday. We've already arranged it. We're having lunch.
And this is a show exclusive, because the guest has just found this out right this second on this show.
Yeah.
I'm going to have lunch, and it's going to be vegan.
Thank you. So I'll get there on Wednesday, and I'll just turn up at Arena's table and go, so, all right, so what are we up to now?
Okay.
And you'll have that sort of pain.
She'll be like, who the hell are you?
Disgusted look in your face, like, oh, God, how long will it take me to get rid of him? That's kind of what I get a lot, Arena. That'd be fine.
Okay, yeah. Well, nothing you're not used to.
So have you got quite a lot you've got a table there, take it in the publisher's bit of you, or the deals bit? Well,
we're not going to have a stand like we normally do during Comic Cons or other events. So there will be mainly based, in the rights stand. Mm-hmm. Our team will be meeting with other publishers to talk about various books and their translations.
Right.
Whereas I'll be running around town quite a bit, like going to events, taking photographs, recording them, and kind of putting it all on our social media.
Oh, we're doing the same. That's what I'm doing.
I mean, I already think it's fascinating that, you know, I mean, I don't think anyone listening to this can probably fathom the size of this event. I mean, obviously, it's a huge event. Mm. But it's fascinating that there's a tent just for, like, the rights and all of that kind of stuff.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, you know, you get the professional book fairs, you get the book fairs for fans, but this is really a mix of everything.
Mm.
Yeah. Everything comics related happens there.
Yeah.
And for instance, like, I'm super happy that this year there will be some English artists coming, most notably in my list, John McNull, the author of The Kingdom.
Yeah, I love John.
His book, a translation to translate it into French. So he will be there at the Dargo stand, which is like one of our publishers.
You do a lot of Dargo stuff, don't you? I know they're they're big. You deal with them a lot. I always look to see who's published books first when I read yours, and it's often them, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm gonna take my copy of The Kingdom, which you gave me during Thought Bubble, to get it signed.
Cool. He's a lovely guy as well. Love John. Okay. Super nice guy. Yeah, yeah. We're doing something else with him coming soon. So watch this space. But yeah. Yeah, really good. And AJ Dungo's there as well, who's published by Casterman, who in Waves came out. And I know he's shortlisted, isn't he? He's in the official selection this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So were you able to just describe? So when you go to their website, I did use Google Translate an awful lot.
Yes.
But there's a number of sort of different areas of awards and selections. So you've got the Grand Prix. Yes. Which is the three runners-up, which will be announced, I think, on the 31st. Is that right?
On Wednesday, I think, on the Thursday.
Right.
29, I think.
Oh, yes. Okay. Right. So in that, we've got a couple of people. Now, you've got a horse in that race, haven't you? Because Catherine Maurice, is it Maurice or Maurice?
Catherine Maurice.
Maurice. She's up. She's one of the three. Who are the other two off the top of my head? It's Chris Ware and Emmanuel Gubert. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Who did the book about the doctors on front? Was it the no frontiers? Doctors with no frontiers.
Yeah, the book is called The Photographer.
That's a lovely book, you know. Incredible book. Yeah, yeah. But my money's on Catherine. I've got to tell you.
Mine is too, because I love her. She is my highlight of the last couple of years and of Angoulême this year. Definitely.
Yeah. And she's got an exhibition as well, I think.
So, yeah, there's going to be an exhibition, a retrospective of her work, because apart from being nominated for the Grand Prix, this year has been huge for her because she's been elected a member of the French Academy of Fine Arts.
Right.
And is the comics creator to do so, which is very impressive. And, yeah, I'm a huge fan of her work. I first came across her when Europe Comics translated her book called Lightness.
Yeah, it's a lovely book, yeah.
Yeah, and that depicts her journey to recovery after a terrible massacre at Charlie Hebdo.
So those who don't know, she was basically late for a meeting at Charlie Hebdo and avoided the terrorist attack, didn't she?
Lucky ones who got away, because she was late for work because of actually another personal drama that was unfolding in her life at the moment. And so the book is, yeah, her search for ways to move forward with her life and with her art, because wow. as a consequence of the trauma, she loses a lot of her memories, especially those to do with the aesthetic pleasures in life.
Okay.
So she goes on this quest of kind of rediscovering the beauty and lightness in life by going back to the work of Marcel Proust, Stendhal, like other writers, philosophers, painters who had a big influence in her life. And big Proustian moment of trying to rediscover the beautiful and the life fascinating in life. And
yeah, I read it this weekend. I read Le Grand Espace, is it?
Yeah, another one which came out recently. And it deals with events which are not as
impactful. Dramatic. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like it's her growing up in the countryside while everything around is getting industrialized and built upon and growing and built. And I really love this idea of turning to art and nature when life is challenging you, like bigger or smaller extent. And her cartooning style and her writing is just so dynamic and human.
For those who haven't seen it, she's akin, and you can see her working in Charlie Hebdo, but you can also see her style in something like Private Eye. To a certain extent, she's got that cartoony style to her work, which is refreshing, actually. It's really nice to see. And it tells little, almost anecdotal, small little stories sometimes, and some kind sort of opens up to a much bigger page. I actually really like her colour work. I think her black and white, or sometimes sort of blue or grey and white stuff, isn't as strong for me as the in Le Grand Espace, and she's in that sunflower field. It's just incredible stuff. Mm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, it's like... looking at like some of the pages in Lightness, there's a beautiful sort of watercolor type spread of her like in water, going underneath the water, and just it's stunning the way like someone actually sort of sinking beneath the surface of the water and then rising up. It's hard to explain it, but there's a beautiful
it's lovely, and
it breaks up because a lot of it is black and white and grays and stuff. So when you have this real pop of strong blue, it sort of hits you, and you know that's a moment. Do you know what I mean?
I was reading the Comic Journal interview that I sent you guys earlier, and she's a thoughtful creator as well. I like people, maybe it's the admiration I have for the sort of French comics aesthetic, but people who put that work and thought into comics, you know, really appreciate it.
Okay. And we're translating her latest book. Now it's my favorite one. It's called Delacroix.
Dumas. Is that Alexandre Dumas?
It's written by Alexandre Dumas. It's actually a speech that he has written about his lifelong friend, the famous French painter of the Romantic school, Eugène Delacroix. So it's a speech that he has written for the opening of Delacroix's retrospective in Paris, which opened a year after his death. So, you know, it's a speech. It's very lively. There's a lot of anecdotes in there and characters. And so Catherine Meurice illustrated that speech. And again, it goes between her using her very dynamic cartoons to depict those anecdotes and the funny moments. But then she uses these beautiful, beautiful watercolors to make her own versions of the famous Delacroix paintings. It's just gorgeous. And I read it in French, and I'm really looking forward to the translation to be done because my French isn't that great. So I really want to...
I wondered where that came from, because obviously I'm aware of Dumas's sort of adventure novels and stuff like that, you know. But I wasn't. I was searching through some internet stuff, thinking, did he write a book about Delacroix? I didn't know, and then that's what it is. Ah, I realize. Okay,
they were very good friends, and this is a speech he gave a year after his death.
Ah, okay.
So that's what happened.
Okay.
So one day somebody will make a comic about one of our speeches on here.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Oh God.
Yeah, be a court cartoonist.
I wouldn't hold your breath, Tony.
Took three times for you to have a go at me. Third time, there you go. It's fine.
I have seven more to go. It's a list of 10.
Now I know. Sorry, mate. Go on. I know you were very excited. Now, you messaged us, very kindly sent us a Dropbox link with some books in it, and then you messaged me saying, oh, I forgot to include something. Can we talk about the jazz one? Are we allowed? I can't remember what we're allowed to talk about. Was it the jazz? I'm hinting at it, the jazz musician one. Can we talk about that one? Or?
Yeah, sure, of course.
Yeah, so it's the book of Django Reinhardt that you're preparing. Is that right?
Yeah, it's so I only discovered that we're translating it like literally 2 days ago, and I got super excited because, again, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
And we don't have the translation yet, so I'm guessing that in English the book is going to be called Django, the Hand on Fire or Off Fire, or maybe something a bit more poetic than this, because that's okay. A literal translation. And that's the story of the Django Reinhardt, the famous Romani French jazz guitarist and composer. He's like the first jazz talent to emerge from Europe, and he's perhaps the only European who has ever had any influence on the American jazz at the time, because right. He recorded with Duke Ellington and other legends of the era. So he was born in Belgium, then he moved to a Romani settlement outside Paris.
I was going to say, I was looking at the comic earlier, and it very much seems like that sort of Romani gypsy feel to it, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. This is the community that he came from and he lived in his whole life. And so he starts playing early on. His mother gives him a banjo, and he learns himself by just mimicking the fingers of other musicians that he's watching. And then he starts busking around, playing in bars, small venues, and he starts being spotted by promoters and band leaders. Because what he did, like, his peers were just stunned by the fact that he used the guitar to play melodies which were not meant for string instruments to start with.
Right. And
eventually, what one of his big inputs into the jazz was to bring guitar as a lead instrument in jazz compositions. So, anyways, yeah, so he starts recording, he starts gaining all this international attention, and at this very crucial moment of his career, he nearly dies in a very dramatic fire.
Right.
And most of his body gets burned, and most importantly, he loses the use of two of his fingers on his left hand.
Yeah.
But within a year, he totally reinvents his left hand technique.
There's a beautiful couple of pages on this, yeah, actually, yeah. Where you just see, you've got the sort of widescreen sort of, you know, showing him sort of recovering and stuff. But then there's just details of the hands and the finger movements and, you know, him figuring out how to play again. And it's beautiful stuff.
I was looking at them and I was thinking about, like, I saw a few conversations here and there on Instagram where artists talk about how the hands is one of the most difficult things to draw.
Yeah.
And right.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And to then draw hands that are then malformed. And
but also forming chord structures. Yeah, there's a yeah, it makes it even worse. Yeah.
One of you play the guitar?
I do. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I don't play it. Like, so I couldn't probably appreciate it to the extent. But
oh, I'm sure you can. The colors in that, the colors are so lush. It's so amazing.
Mm.
So rich in its colors and stuff. Some of the bar scenes, I put a panel up on Twitter saying, oh, you know, I'm getting to read this early, and there was so much response to how amazing it was, you know, really was.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Like his history at the back.
Gorgeous.
I can't read French, but it's got like a kind of a relatively short life story at the back. So that'd be cool to read that in English.
Yeah, it should come out. I don't have an exact date yet, but I'm hoping that it should come out in spring.
Okay. So. Far better nice for me to spend a week without releasing 5 books, Arena. And I know another one you're very excited about is it Siberian Haiku, the first Lithuanian translation, I'm going to say. You yourself are Lithuanian, aren't you?
I'm from Lithuania, and I think it's the first Lithuanian comic book to ever be translated. And
wow,
I'm very happy that Self-Made Hero does it, because I am a huge fan of theirs. And
they did Maggie Garrison as well, didn't they? Am I right saying? Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, they're great self-made here. We need to get them on the show at some point, don't we?
We do, definitely. Don't we? Yeah. We really do, yeah.
He's amazing.
Now, I'm going to do the obvious question. Do you know the creators of that book? I know Lithuania is quite a large country, but you have to ask that question when you find out, don't you?
I was. That's the thing. I first heard of the book through Self-Made Hero when they did their spring.
Ah, okay.
And I looked at the names. I'm like, okay, these look, you know, familiar by the way that they sound.
Yeah.
But I never knew these girls. And so it's one of the first Lithuanian comic books, and it's the story about a little Lithuanian boy, Algukas, and his family, and how one day they get deported to Siberia, which is unfortunately a story a lot of Lithuanian people are familiar with through their family trees. And so he goes, they're deported there, and they have to obviously deal with the hunger and the cold and all these atrocities. But it's a story of survival, but it's also the story of this little boy using his very powerful imagination and a book of Japanese haiku that he discovers there to sort of get away from it all. But again, like, coming back to the subject of dealing with the impossible through art and through something more beautiful. And so, and it's based on the story of the author's Revile's father. It's his real experiences of him and his family. And then, yeah, and it was illustrated by Lina Itagaki, who studied Japanese and Japanese language and culture, and she lived in Japan for a while, but she's back in Lithuania now.
Okay, because that does sound like a Japanese name.
I think that her surname, yeah, is Japanese, but...
Well, maybe she married a Japanese guy and took his name or something, I don't know, yeah. Because I had a look at her after reading it, that, and she doesn't look a Japanese person. So,
No, she's Lithuanian, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
That Lithuanian creators are getting out there on the world.
Yeah, it's good. Good to see. Yeah, definitely. So what other books have you got coming out you'd like to mention? You've got a load coming out, I know, but which ones would you sort of particularly like to mention?
The two of the most exciting ones for me were Delacroix and Django, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was Pierre Christin, because that's another Angoulême highlight for me.
Okay.
Because there's going to be a retrospective of his work there as well. So Pierre Christin is most famously probably the scriptwriter of the Valerian series.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
He did that East to West, was that the name of the book?
Yeah. That's my favorite book of his. Marvelous. About travels around on the both sides of the Iron Curtain.
Yeah, and America. He spends quite a lot of time in America in that one, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really good.
And now I'm reading another series of his called The Hardy Agency. So we're releasing new volumes every month. And it's about Edith Hardy, who's a very stylish and sharp private detective who runs a little detective agency in Paris in the 50s. And she kind of, like, she has her personal things that she deals with, but then she gets caught up in something much bigger than her. And so there's a lot of international affairs and Soviet spies. It's all very retro and quite sexy.
Right. It looks great. It looks very noir-y.
Yeah.
It's like Parisian noir, that sort of thing. Yeah.
It's drawn by Annie Gotzinger, who unfortunately passed away just a few years ago, who's also a huge, huge artist in France. So there's this series. And also another book coming from Pierre Christin is the biography of George Orwell.
Oh, yes. I saw this on your list. Yeah. Yeah, this looks amazing.
The Sierre by Self-Made Hero, actually. But it's translated from French.
So right.
As always, there's a lot of like real life stories and graphic medicine and
something I do notice is a lot of, you know, historical sort of biography sort of books
which are really
really well made and really well taught, you know, it's a great way to learn history. Sneaking it into comics in some way.
People don't understand that a lot of these books do really well. Our Darwin book does extremely well, because it does well with libraries and schools, and, you know, people see it as more graphic novels. Have got a little bit of a cachet, you know, now.
Yeah.
So it gets them in front of sort of educational establishments and stuff like that, and it also gets it into the chain bookshops, which is quite good. Yeah, we do well off that sort
but
of thing.
It must be such an interesting way to convey, because obviously it's a writer and artist, you know, teaming up to tell this story of someone that, you know, they probably haven't met, but, you know, they're fascinated and they've done their research. But no matter how much you research, no matter how much reference you got, you know, how do you know the emotion of what happened at that particular moment or time? I think Django is a good sort of proponent of this, because there's some scenes in that, and obviously I can't read French. Just going by the visuals.
Yeah.
And there's just a beautiful moment where he gives someone some flowers, and this person just rushes in and hugs him. I mean, the art is stunning anyway. But there's a real poignancy and an emotional sort of resonance to that moment that it feels like you're there, even though it happens in the past. You know what I mean? And that's a very difficult thing to achieve, isn't it? Because you are, in some ways, fictionalizing something that really happened. Does that make sense? You know, you sort of
it's always a dramatization of the facts, isn't it? It's almost like a film of something.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't quite get it exactly right.
That you pointed out this particular frame, because I was discussing this book with Nazeli, my colleague, like right before the weekend. And for her, this particular panel, it makes the whole book.
Because Yeah.
On the parallel, there's this very dramatic love story happening as well, because Django has this sweetheart and when he's younger, but then he goes on to marry this other girl, and then this childhood sweetheart comes back in his life, and the scene when she runs to him with the flowers is just so powerful. There's so much.
Yeah,
I mean, you could just, you know, forget whatever languages, you know, take the speech bubbles off. If you just see this page, you know the emotion that's happening there. You know, and it makes me.
Depending on the style of comic, that's kind of a good definer as to whether it's any good, isn't it? You know what I mean? It really is. If you can tell without the words, you get a sense of it, and the words are richer, make a sort of richer experience. I think that's a good way, a good judge.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. It should stand on the artwork alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should be able to get a feel of it at least.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, unless it's a lecture to the United Nations or something, you know. But mostly it's like, yeah, you should realise the emotion of it coming off the page.
Yeah.
Another book I've read a few books this week of yours. Thanks for sending them through. I do appreciate it. But a couple I wanted to mention was the Undertaker series. I'm a big fan of the westerns you're putting out. Ralph Myers, a superstar, isn't he? He's a rock star. My God, I love his artwork so much.
It's insane how much detail there is.
He's taken the reins from Blueberry for me, from in the Mebius Blueberry, you know, stuff, or Gerard Blueberry. For those that don't know, The Undertaker is basically if it was a movie, it'd be a 70s dirty western. Do you know what I mean? It's that sort of spaghetti western kind of feel to it. But it's an undertaker. He's a cowboy. He's dressed as an undertaker. He's on the run, and he has he has a pet vulture, I think, doesn't he? That's right, it's a vulture. And he sort of travels about in a sort of undertaker's cart, killing people and then burying them. It's quite bleak, but it's so well drawn. That's the thing, we've said it before, that's the thing you guys do so well is westerns. We hardly do them at all in the UK and the US anymore, but the westerns just sing. There's an absolute beauty, like a brutal, beautiful sort of move to them, you know? It really is.
The western has become a French genre somehow.
Yeah, it really has. Yeah. And the other one I wanted to mention was The Colony. Is it Nicholas Debon? Debon?
Debon.
Yeah. And it's not what I expected from the cover. The cover is sort of this sort of snowbound trail of people pushing their way through the snow. And when it was called The Colony, I thought, oh, it's got to be post-apocalyptic. You know, they're creating a colony amongst zombies, or, you know, it's got to be that. But it's not. It's kind of a building of, it's a Marxist comic. It's a comic showing the theories. Yeah. Is that right? Is it? Or
what's that? Sorry.
It's a sort of Marxist comic. You know, it's the basis of Marxist theory.
Yeah.
And this man creates a town, and people come and move in, and it's autonomous, and there's no real leaders, and a kid is born, and the kid is part of the town and doesn't have any sort of immediate parents because it's a co-opted sort of community, and there's a lot of very French political eulogizing in it, Vive la République type stuff.
You're the Frenchest person here, so, you know.
Sorry?
You're the Frenchest person on the show, Tony.
All right, okay. Yeah, that's great. Just part of me. But it's told with this brushy, and it all takes place mostly, and the majority of it takes place in the forest, and this clearing where he builds his town, and the local townspeople are at first at odds with him, then they're with him, and then they're against him, and it's really clever. Is it an actual history, or is it a sort of false history?
I think it's a real story.
It's
a utopian society that existed for a very short period of time, but it is true. Yeah.
It's really interesting. It's a really interesting document of how they cope with everything, you know.
The art. I love the feel of the art of that book. I haven't read through it yet, but as I was saying, like, the art is right up my street.
Oh, there's the best snow on trees. You know, there's whole just panels with small sort of narration boxes, but the just showing a sort of snow ridden forest. Beautiful, incredible.
I like a panel with snow.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's hard to do. You think that whiteness of it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. Is there any other books you'd like to mention at all, Irina? I know you've got a few favourites, but what about the Detection Club? Does that just come out?
Yeah, Detection Club is great, and it's also linked to Angoulême because the author will be in Angoulême next week, and he's discussing this book with Posy Simmons. So, yeah. So the Detection Club, it just came out, and it's set in 1930s England. And it's all the best mystery writers of the era, like Agatha Christie and John Dickens Carr. They all come together and form this society called the Detection Club, where they kind of eat, drink, and challenge each other. And then they end up getting invited to this private island by a very eccentric billionaire who introduces them to his latest invention, which is a robot who can predict the ending to their novels. And then, obviously, somebody gets murdered, and they have to solve that. It's very fun and very stylish. It's very French, but with a good dose of British humor. And apparently, Posy Simmons really loved the book, and they're going to be discussing it.
Wow, I can see that being up her street. Yeah.
So you should definitely come see it. I'm going there for sure.
No, I'm
going to
see that. It reminds me a little bit of the old sort of Agatha Christie movies that were in black and white. Do you remember the sort of Passport to Pimlico, Ealing comedies kind of period? It's got that about it. So she's with, obviously she wrote Miss Marple, but you kind of imagine Agatha Christie as being the Miss Marple character, don't you? You've got G.K. Chesterton did Father Brown, and you've got Dorothy Sayers who did Lord Peter Wimsey, if anyone's heard of that. Yeah, it looks really good. I know Tom Stewart from that comic Smell chose it as one of his covers of the week this week. Really, really good stuff. And there's two, did you release two volumes at once on that one, did you, I think?
Sorry, say that again?
Did you release two volumes at once?
Yeah. So the book came out in French as one volume, but we've separated it into two parts to make it more manageable to read, I guess. But we separated it into two parts. But it's complete. The story is complete now.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah, it's great. I love that one.
Yeah, it looks really good. It's next on my list to read, I have to say. Yeah, it really is. Now, am I right in saying that not only do you, as your sort of model that Eurocomics take, French, Belgian, Lithuanian, Polish, Turkish comics and translate them into English. Are you doing, are you taking English comics and translating them the reverse way now? Or?
So the publishers that are part of our project, I'm talking now on behalf of the French publishers and the Belgian publishers. So more and more often they buy rights of English language books and translate them into French. So our particular project does not deal with it, but it's the publishers that we
are
part of who buy these rights. So there's The Kingdom, the most notable one for me right now.
Yeah.
And actually, they're also going to, another French publisher is translating that Lithuanian book too. So that's actually, I don't know, I started noticing it this year that the French publishers are now venturing more and more into translation because, you know, comics is such a French game.
And right.
Same as with English and American publishers not translating too much in fiction and nonfiction into English. But no, I think it's changing a little bit. And
You've also got a deal going with, is it a Webtoons? Is that right? Yeah. Did you want to talk a little bit about that as well?
Oh yeah, sure. So it's called the Webtoon Factory, and it's actually a project of one of our publishers, Dupuis. Dupuis is the publisher of Django, the one that's that we're translating, and also Black Water Lilies.
I love that so much.
Great.
I was chatting to Jason Wood from 11 O'Clock Comics about that because he independently did a review without hearing my one. That's an incredibly great looking
that's
book, isn't it?
Great mystery, isn't it? It's like I don't know. Towards the end, it's like Inception, you know, it's a dream within a dream.
So it's a three-aged layered book, isn't it? It's and it's all set in the town where Monet drew his water lily pictures. And the mystery is this is a genuine mystery that the black water lily picture is still missing. Is that right? Or?
Oh, I don't know that.
Oh, no. I thought that was, okay.
I think it's fiction, no?
Is it? Okay, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, who knows? Everything's fiction. Come on, what's going on? But the
podcast fiction.
Everything I say. Yeah. But it's got that. I don't know. There's a little bit of the Posy Simmons about the art, like coloured. Some of the ladies are slightly cheekily overdrawn. Do you know what I mean? Some of the, you know, there's a certain underlying sexuality to a little bit of it as well, isn't there? There's a sort of cheeky broodingness about it, you know.
Sexy.
Yeah, sexy. That's the word I was looking for. I didn't want to say it in front of the boys because I get embarrassed. But the I recommend it as a mystery. It's probably one of the best mystery comics I've read for a long time. It is really good.
Yeah.
And there's a realization that happens at a certain point, and you go, "Oh, right."
And you just want to go back and kind of reread the whole book all over again because to make sense out of it all. I love that one.
There's a great sequence where there's a detective, a sort of head detective, and he's got an assistant, and he discovers there's a suspect, and he starts interviewing the suspect's wife, and the suspect's wife is sort of swinging her hips a little bit too much, and you begin to think, is he being taken in there? What's happening? You know, and then, but there's so much more to that relationship that you sort of find out elsewhere within the book, you know. Incredibly, incredibly clever.
Yeah, very clever and very, very beautiful. And, you know, like the art, because there's, so the Monet house, the real one that exists, you can do a virtual tour of it.
Oh, okay.
You can see just how, you know, the art in the book is like 100% just the way it looks in real life. It's very
Yeah.
Very beautiful. Okay. Detoured from webtoons.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So that was the publisher of Blackwater Lilies is Dupuis, and last year in Angoulême, actually, they launched their webtoon platform. So they started bringing webtoons from, mainly French creators, but also it's open for other European and international creators. So they started publishing webtoons, and we've collaborated with them, and we translate them into English. So now we have a webtoon catalog, and it's starting to grow now. We don't have that many series just yet, but there's a few good ones. There's one which I personally like. It's this very funny slice of life story of a girl, an Italian girl who moves to Paris, you know, with these great dreams of this beautiful life that awaits her in Paris. But actually, it's not that fabulous. And then there's another series about this eco-Satan, so to do with all today's concerns for global warming and recycling and things like that. It's quite bizarre. And and a few more. So I think there's maybe 10 to 15 series that we hold at the moment, and we're translating them little by little.
World domination.
I mean, certainly. I mean, if you look at, just say, you go onto the Europe Comics page on Comixology, and just the amount of titles that you see there, you're just going to be drowning in books in the next sort of couple of years. I mean, you got more than enough to handle at the moment. But
in fact, we got a question from the Facebook page from Gary Hill, and he says he's not dipped his foot in yet. I know Gary a little bit, and he's a sort of 2000 AD fan. Okay. Irina, and I was going to drop it on your toes there and say, what would you recommend for him to read from your library of books currently, if he wanted to choose a couple of books to start with? Well, where would you go with that?
So if we're talking about like action,
maybe a bit of sci-fi, maybe.
Sci-fi.
Yeah.
I mean, Human, this book that we recently released, Human. Apocalyptic. Well, yeah, so it's not sci-fi exactly, but.
Oh, it kind of is. It's spaceships and robots, aren't there?
The post-apocalypse, and that was a great, I think it's a great one to start with.
That's an amazing book. I reviewed that, and that's a lovely book.
Is that the book you were talking about last week, Tony?
No, that was Midian. Midian.
That'd work as well.
That's got a very 2000 AD feel to it. Yeah. It really could. Yeah. You can easily see someone like Pat Mills writing that book, can't you?
Yeah,
definitely. Okay, and then the other question we had, and I'm sorry to bring it up, it's been brought up on the Facebook, is Sam Webster asked, how will Brexit affect the deal? I suppose the answer is we don't really know, do we?
No.
We don't really know. I mean, business as usual here. We are planning to go to a festival in the UK this year before the S hits the fan.
Okay, so, where are you going?
So this is what we wanted to talk to you about in Angoulême. We wanted your perspective on all the festivals that are happening in the
Ooh, okay. Interesting.
Tony's going to get the inside track.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Presentation, that would be great.
Wasn't there something to do with like the customs excise going back and forth between the country might increase? So that'd be something that have to be considered.
What I'll do, Arena, is I'll set up a Dropbox in the dark web. You can just send this.
I guess it won't affect digital.
Okay, but don't send me any links on my work email, please.
Okay, fair enough. No more, anyway. Yeah, okay.
So, Brexit is not something we talk about too much, to be honest. Yeah. But we are, we are still looking at the UK, at the UK market, and we are going to try to go to a festival this year.
Oh, okay. We'll have a talk maybe after we stop, but I'm just going to say thought bubble.
Yeah, thought bubble.
Yeah.
That's what I was telling them, but they want, yeah, I don't know. Because, we did go to Thought Bubble once already, and I think
it's a bit of a different deal now as well. This is a different location. In fact, I'll tell you, we'll talk off. I've got something I'll probably tell you offline. Okay. Yeah. Something that might grease those wheels.
Oh, my word. Yeah. I mean, look at this happening live on air.
It's not live. You're going to edit it. I know it.
Never edit you, Arena. You know that. and a couple of, I just wanted to mention a couple of the other exhibitions as well while we got you on. I'm going to try and get about them all. But as I understand the exhibitions, some of them are in like just little venues, little shopping centres and stuff like that, are they? They're not always very central. Is that right?
No, that's right. Some of them are quite small. But some of them are in the Museum of Bande Dessinée.
Right.
And this, getting to that museum is probably the most challenging bit because it's all the way down the hill.
That's right. What I'm thinking while I'm talking to you is I'm going to take my bigger suitcase. That's what I'm thinking. there's a Wally Wood exhibition, which looks brilliant. I can't wait to see that. I'm a big fan of Wally Wood. I'll do a bit more talk about Wally Wood in a minute because... I'm involved with someone who used to ink his stuff with Mr. Fout, but we'll talk about that in a minute. There's The Walking Yawn. They've got the works of Robert Kirkman. Has anyone read The Walking Yawn?
No.
About zombies, apparently. That's got his next little exhibition. And then there's a kids comics exhibition that features Naruto, the little vampire, and also the star that is Hilda that's going on as well. Looks pretty good.
Okay.
Ooh, Hilda.
Yeah, Naruto. Love Hilda.
Naruto's really big as well.
Yeah, really popular. So that's a I'm presuming that's one for the kids, the kids side of things. And the other one I was really interested in is having a holidayed in France as a child a lot, and you always run out of comics to read. My parents would always buy me, is it Strange, was the Marvel translation comic. And I sort of learnt a bit of reading French from reading, Dave Cockrum X-Men comics in French, But the covers were always like gorgeous. They always had this sort of pulp aesthetic to the covers. So Spider-Man or the X-Men or someone like that was done on the covers. And it's a guy called Jean Frisano. He did a little bit of work for Marvel in the Americas, but his stuff was mostly sort of covers for these books. And they're amazing looking, like big sort of canvases of painted Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and Galactus and stuff like that. And that looks absolutely excellent. Really does. Yeah. They're the ones I wanted to mention. So I'll probably go to those. Have you got anything in outside of work time? Have you got anything you're looking forward to?
Well, that's the beauty of it because I'm combining work and pleasure.
Right. Okay.
These exhibitions. You know what? One event I won't be able to make it to, and I was hoping maybe you can go and then tell me all about it.
Right. Okay.
One of the great things that they do in Angoulême every year is that they throw these concerts where they combine drawing and music.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think he's English, actually, an English singer, Hugh Coltman, and his jazz band. And he was performing with the great Juanjo Guarnido, the artist of Black Sad.
Oh, wow. Oh, bloody wow. Hell.
Mm. Also in New York not so long ago.
Wow. Yeah. Bloody hell. He did, do you remember he did London Super Comic Con, the first one we did, guys?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, he
did. Yeah. I was too scared to talk to him.
Yeah, we were. We
had a lot of that going on there.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll let me get up and do a few songs, Arena.
Oh, no.
I know Wonderwall.
It's not karaoke.
No, it's not a karaoke. It's drawing and music.
Yeah.
So by about day two, you'll just have to pretend you don't know me. I think that's probably...
Yeah, you don't want to get deported just after you arrive, Tony, so...
I am absolutely super excited. I can't wait. I'm like genuinely like a child before Christmas.
But you know what? I saw that you changed your Twitter status like 1 month ago saying Tony's Angulo.
Yeah.
Out, man.
I'm just going to change it to Tony was at Angulo after that.
No. But you definitely, there needs to be lots of photos, I think, because it's hard for people to fathom. Unless a lot of our listeners obviously have been to Europe and have seen like the book sections of like, you know, whatever bookstores they're in, you know, we can't stress it enough every time, like how seriously the medium is taken and the art form is taken in Europe and beyond and stuff.
I'm so jealous. I'm obviously AJ Dungo's a pal of mine, and he has been in France now for like 2 months touring around because he's official selection, so he's doing signings and stuff, and he is having an absolute ball. Yeah, it just looks so comic friendly.
Yeah.
Oh, if only we had it here. On every time we go to a festival, everyone asks us what we're going to dress up as. Yeah.
And I just say Tony.
Yeah. Is Jason Lutz there at all? Do you know, from Berlin?
Oh,
as I know, him and Seth are both in the official selection, aren't they? Seth's up for Clyde fans, and I'm a big fan of Seth's work. Mm. Really like his stuff.
Okay.
Mind you, so is Charles Burns. Charles Burns is in the official selection as well. There's quite a few UK names and American names in there.
Yeah, true. Last year it was an American who won the.
I thought it was that Japanese lady who did.
Yeah, the Grand Prix. The official selection, like the book, it was. The name is escaping me. Eris Emis. The book about monsters.
Oh, the one that looks like it's done in an essay book.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my favourite people are monsters. Oh,
yeah.
Sarah Harris is going to kill me because she's one of her favourite books. She's always telling us to read it.
It is a beautiful looking book.
So she won the official selection thing, did she?
Yeah, so you see there are many different selections. So there are selections for the book. Then there's a selection for a crime book. Then there's also
kids
one. And then there's a schools one. Like, you know, in France, there's this different system with there's a lycée and sort of like first grade, second grade. Anyway, so all of those have categories as well.
Yeah, I love the French because normally you go to a foreign language website and there's a button you can press that turns it into English. They do not have that on the Anglais.
No.
You've got to love the French. And so I have literally been navigating that, trying to prepare this document, trying to think, oh right, I'll put everything down that's going up for award. Well, what's this one then? It's literally been that bad. But in the official selection there's 43 books, believe it or not. The people who have done them, a lot of these people are doing signings, and they, you know, that people take all of these really seriously. I suppose it's a bit like the book along list, I suppose, here. You've also got a couple of other ones that are worth mentioning. You've got Grand Designs, X-Men by Ed Pisker. I like Ed stuff. If anyone listens to the Kayfabe podcast, really worth listening to. He's a sort of thoughtful, real old school, loves the 90s kind of creator. And you got Thor by Jason Aaron and Russell Dalton, which is a really good book. And I don't know whether Jason Aaron's going to be there. It'd be nice to see him if he is. Yeah. So I think that's a worthy inclusion. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other books, like 40 other books. Incredible, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you feel? I mean, beyond like Angoulême and Europe Comics and stuff, obviously you're a fan of the medium anyway, Arena, but how do you feel? Because like comics as a medium, it has its ups and downs, and like sometimes you never know what it's going to be like from year to year, you know, with the quality of books, etc. How do you feel like comics in general in the European market? How strong do you feel it is at the moment?
Well, it's pretty strong, and because I don't have the exact numbers now, but like in France, it's, you know, it makes for what, 10% of all of their publishing, and that's a huge number for comics. For a country.
If only.
And there's of course a big conversation going on. Like the Angoulême is going to be very political because, you know, the industry is growing, but the conditions of the authors are not improving, and.
Okay.
There'll be conversations on that, but as a medium, as a variety of genres and books, it's strong. It's stronger with every year.
Yeah, I mean, as a reader, are you just constantly surprised at how it seems to be getting bigger and better every year. I mean, you guys are seeing a lot just in, you know, the stuff that you're translating, isn't it? But
it is. I mean, for me, with my experience and my background, like, yeah, it's unprecedented. It's insane just how big it is. Because I think I mentioned it when we talked, like, the previous time. I come from Lithuania, and we don't have a comics market, like, whatsoever. Mm, and then right. I live in England, and this is when the comic books were really shoved in the corner somewhere between erotica and sci-fi. You know, nobody knew they existed. And it's only now that it's the medium is getting this recognition, and people are taking it much more seriously in the UK. And in France, it's been like this forever. Well, France, Belgium. It's amazing. Like, you come into any household and you see these huge A4 albums just like stacked everywhere. It's a part of life.
It's a dream. It's a dream come true.
But do they call them comics time. Though? This is because I mean I say that with obviously over here in the UK, when a graphic novel, shall we say, gets to a certain stage, and you have like the papers like The Guardian talking about it. There will be this mentality, oh, they're not comics, this is a graphic novel.
Yeah.
Is there that sort of thinking, like, abroad as well?
I think it's just the words, like the terminology, because for French-speaking people, comics is American floppies.
Okay, right.
Whereas, comics, as we talk about it right now, it's bande dessinée.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then graphic novel, yeah, there is this sort of conversation about, you know, what constitutes a graphic novel, but in the end it's all bande dessinée.
Sort of see them as albums is kind of how we the word that's kind of a commonly used one these days, because you've almost got like Asterix comes out, or certainly did come out like once a year, you get that yearly album of Asterix and stuff like that, you know.
I think that the term album has something to do, like, purely with the size.
Yeah, I think you're right. So
it's an album. But now, like, you'll see the French publishers, it's been years that they're playing with formats, and it's not just those standard album sizes anymore. Also, it's not very practical for when trying to sell rights to American publishers, because for them, they're just too big. Yeah. They like them in smaller sizes. So
idiots. I'm so jealous. I genuinely think there's no better time than now for your business model, and just generally for bande dessinée to penetrate the UK and the US markets. I really do think there's a time where there's an appreciation of comics, but they're not selling. So the appreciation of the art is at a higher level, perhaps, sometimes. And to people who see these things and just have their minds blown by the beauty and, you know, the elegance of these French, Belgian, you know, Italian comics, it's just there's an incredible aspect that we don't see, and
the
so
diversity
completely, man.
I mean, people will probably people from the UK will probably have a preconceived notion. I know that's crazy, people having a preconceived notion UK of what comics from Europe will be like, but then, you know, just take a look at like the Europe comics, sort of like I said before, just browse the titles, and there's something for everyone.
I was thinking about this earlier, because we've talked to death about Rock of the Reds and how great it would be to have a football comic, and you released two in a month.
You know what? That's my only hope, for real hope for the future, is that more of our books will make it to print.
Yes.
Because the aim of the project is also to make these books available for English speaking publishers to really read through and see the story and consider buying the rights and printing them. Yeah. So, you know, now on our website there is a little article where you can find all the books that made their way from the digital catalog to print catalogs of Titan and Self-Made Hero and all these other publishers. So, you're right. It's great, and I'm very happy that we're doing this and we're translating more and more comics, and there's such a variety. But I only hope that more of them will make it to print.
Yeah. It's not an expensive way of just translating a comic either, is it? You know, I know once you get the rights out of the way, it's not super expensive to translate a comic.
There are issues with, you know, authors and translations and stuff. It gets difficult from time to time.
Well, I'm just thinking of the book you gave me when I saw you in New York, which was a book called Trap. That would be an easy book to translate because there's no words in it. And I think that, so to me, just to give it to a publisher again, stick it out. It's the most amazing book. Yeah.
I mean, the language bit may be a hurdle for some people. I mean, we've said on this show sometimes, you know, I've read the Europe Comics one so much. I mean, Swordmaster was a great example for me. You know, I absolutely adored that, and it was like, I just need like a printed copy of it. I don't care if I can't read it. I want to see the original pages. But there are a lot of people who don't necessarily shop like that. You know, they'll want a printed copy, but if they can't read it, that'll stop them, won't it? Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes I think. Yeah, we still hear lots of people who turn their nose up at the digital. And I was one of that crowd, Arena. I used to be one of that. When we started this podcast, I barely read anything.
Yeah.
Now I've got over 1,000 books in my Comixology library, you know.
I'm totally with you on it. Like, I read our books in because English is much easier for me. So I read it in English.
Yeah.
And if I really love the story, like, I will find a copy and keep it in French for my library.
Yeah, I've been doing that. Yeah. Yeah, we've all been doing that actually.
Yeah, you might actually get a shopping list, Tony, by the way, from me.
Yeah, I've already had a number of people reach out.
Suitcase.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I am. Yeah.
How many suitcases?
Yeah, I mean the thing is they're heavy books as well, aren't they? That, you know, because if you've got like hardcovers and stuff like that, you're blind me, Tony. Are you sure you're gonna be able to bring back all the books that you want to bring back?
That you want. Yeah.
It's not just me. I know what you're like. I know how much you'll buy.
Well, I know Sam said to me, "What are you coming? You just bringing a rucksack?" I said, get off and bring in a wheelie suitcase. What are you talking about? The amount of books I'm going to be bringing back. Yeah. And the other one, of course, is Marini, who we just adore. He's just amazing. Can't wait to see his next... He's doing that noir book. He's all over Twitter and Instagram drawing it at the moment.
About this one as well, because I think he's going to be a little bit different from Scorpion and all these other things. But he's going to be in Angoulême as well. I think he's promoting the latest Scorpion.
Okay, cool. He hasn't texted me yet. I'm still waiting. He'll probably get hold of me when he texts.
Oh, I lost your number.
Still, thanks, Serena, for one of the best comic moments of my year last year was meeting him. It was brilliant, absolutely genius, and I made you take a million photographs of us.
I saw this.
You are far too nice to this show in every way. So
definitely. Yeah, we really appreciate it, and we every time we get an email from you, we get we open it immediately. It's great stuff, Arena. We really do. Very inspiring. And I'm right. I think there's an enthusiasm for comics from you and Nazelli that really comes across. I know I hung about a bit with her in California last year, and then she introduced me to Mr. Trondheim, who also is a brilliant character, but. A real enthusiasm that is communicated across about the brilliance of these books. It really is, you know. Mm.
Yeah. So, obviously, you know, Angoulême aside and everything else, we've only just started 2020. So what does the rest of the year look like for you guys? Obviously, you can't necessarily announce titles because then there's lots of things being worked out. But, you know, what do you know about the year coming up?
Well, so this year, we continue business as usual. What I think will be a little bit different this year from the previous years is that this year we're concentrating on translating in step with the new French publications. So in the previous year, you know, we were translating classical series from the backlist of all these various French publishers, whereas this year we're trying to publish them as soon as they come out in French. So, for instance, Django, the book that we were talking about, it comes out in French like now, these days. And so we're going to try to get it out like in a few months. So
East to West was like that, wasn't it? That was a very quick turnaround. Yeah.
So we did a few books like this before, but this year, this is going to be the priority to sort of concentrate on the newest publishing. And then, as I mentioned, we want to do one UK-based event, and then we're also going to be at Thought Bubble. TCAF. And then the American Librarian Association conference in Chicago, and maybe New York Comic Con. So we have a few events as well, but obviously I can't yet tell you who we're going to be bringing there. But they're going to be great.
Good stuff. Yeah. Always have like a little couch and some homemade biscuits. I think that always goes down well as well.
Homemade biscuits?
Yeah, they were homemade biscuits, so they look like it.
It was our neighbors, the guys who were selling the original art opposite our.
Oh, right, okay. They brought the biscuits.
Mm. Yeah.
is that the way to your heart, Tony? Just some biscuits?
Well, I get to sit down. I ate a biscuit with Marini. That was nice. It's me, Arena, and Marini ate biscuits together.
Oh, God. The diary comic you're going to write one day, Tony, is going to be riveting.
Guess who I ate biscuits with today?
Who?
God.
Good stuff, mate. That's brilliant. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. It's really excited. Yeah. I'll be running around looking all excited. That'll be me again.
Yeah. So obviously, where can people find? I mean, if they want to find out more about Europe Comics, we shout about them all the time. But just say this is your first show, people, and you want to know what we're talking about. Where can people
get
find out
it.
More? Yeah, about Europe Comics and what you guys do.
Yeah. So europecomics.com. This is all of our catalog and all of our events and other things happening in our world. And obviously social media is a good place to get all the updates about what we do. So it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the handle is Europe Comics, one word.
Nice. Brilliant. We shall put a link in the show notes.
I don't know if you Google Angoulême in a UK Google, it comes up with your site as the first site, believe it or not. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Well done, Google.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah.
The machine is good for something. Yeah. No, thank you very much again for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Yes, it's brilliant. Been amazing. Yeah, really good.
And yeah, you've got many more appearances on this show to do because you've got a list of 10. That's what you said, wasn't it? So we've, got, so we've done 3.
10 insults to Tony.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, one every time.
Yeah. Thanks, see you soon, mate. You
and
take care.
See you next week, Tony. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do. Look forward to it, mate. See you soon.
Bye.
There you go, folks.
How was that?
Yeah.
Boom.
I didn't come across as too much of a fanboy there, did I?
No.
A
lot. Yeah. I did love, didn't I?
No.
You love it.
I do love it.
You weren't lying.
Yeah. You didn't embarrass us too much. although he may embarrass us when he's in France.
Yeah. So. With I'll do that. Who's that famous footballer who went to France and suddenly he started trying to say English things in French accents and stuff? And do you remember?
Yeah, well, nah. Why are you talking football on a comic book podcast?
But that's going to be me. I'm going to start trying to say things like Le Train or something, you know, like my pants, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah.
If you say
I didn't realize, as I say, Angoulême, like it seems quite business as well. You know what I mean?
It does. Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be wandering around like a sort of slavering dog licking.
Oh, yeah.
Licking.
You're going to absolutely love it because it's just artwork and just brilliance everywhere. So next week, with that in mind, next week's show is going to be probably a bit short, you know, at the in-studio stuff, shall we say, will be very short and sharp, but we're hoping to get a bit of audio. This is going to segue straight into the shout-out, see? I don't know why I announced that. I've completely ruined the segue by actually announcing the segue was coming.
Meta, it's really meta, go with it.
Yeah, okay. I'll edit this out. No, I won't, you know.
You won't.
next week's show is hopefully, I'm going to say hopefully, not hopefully, of course we're going to get audio, but we're certainly going to have clips and interviews with a lot of great guests who will be joining us at True Believers Comic Festival, the UK Comic Fest that's kicking off convention season in the UK. We're going to be there, me and Dan.
Yeah.
Dan, you're going to have a special little book there, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm launching Vanguard Book 3.
Woo!
So it's already all done. Had to pull it back from the printers when I spotted a massive error. But it's all good to go.
But can you say it on air?
Yeah, on the introductory page. I was getting it ready to launch from Leamington last year, but I couldn't get it together in time. And it said, like, done the blur, but it went Dan Butcher, August 2019.
Oh, right.
And I was like, oh, fuck. I thought that's going to go. And I wrestled for it about 10 minutes. Like, no, I've got to have to call that back. I can't let that slide.
Yeah.
It's not a massive error.
No.
But...
No, but there are, Vanguard Volume 3 is going to be at True Believers. those people that have already bought volumes 1 and 2 and loved it, because people always come back for more,
like me,
make sure you come along and pick up the book from our table, the Awesome Comics Podcast table, which is table 27. If you look on the maps, we're going to post out some maps over the next couple of days, and we'll, you know, do all kinds of stuff to announce what we're doing. Me and Dan, are you doing commissions, Dan?
I might do, yeah. I haven't considered it too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I should do.
I have a little commission list open. So if you want a worthless doodle from me that you can pick up
get
on the day.
Great.
Get in touch.
You're good. Your giant-sized man thing was brilliant.
Well, you know it. It's the reason you can't sit down anymore. So,
but, we were doing panels as well, weren't we? Yeah. I'm on a panel.
That was the most in-betweeners reply we've had for a while.
Dan is going to be... you're doing a panel, aren't you? You're moderating a panel.
No, I'm on the panel.
Are you on the panel? Are you moderating it?
Yeah.
I thought you were moderating.
If I'm moderating a brief fut...
So if you want to get there, and he'll tell you you're moderating it, and you won't. Yeah. You won't know.
Yeah, you've done this show long enough, Dan. You know what you're doing.
Just ask people questions. Getting people to talk about themselves. People fucking love doing that. Most people.
Yeah. If in doubt, just go aha, and like
we'll find out when we hit the messages after the show, and I'll find out what's going on. So
just go your influences, then people rattle on for ages.
So the next episode, we're going to have a bunch of audio from the shop floor, because as well as having our table and selling basically all our amazing shit from the table, we're also going to be... I'm telling it like it is.
You've got a new stand.
I do have a new stand. Yeah. Well, I know that was inspired by you, Tony, and you just sort of display stand for
the
table.
Aren't they? How much was it? Like 20 quid on Amazon?
25, I think.
25, that's right. Yeah. Good stuff it is. I found out about it from Peony had one. So she sent me the link. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it was great. I was slightly worried about actually sort of carrying that about to conventions, do you know what I mean? But
to be fair, when you're in that Troops, like you're driving there and it's right in the fucking doorstep.
It's all,
but
it's
I can understand
like
if you go on public transport with it, it's a bit kind of
Are you staying on the Saturday night as well?
No, we're just staying on the Friday night.
What about the hookers? Are they going to stay in the rooms or?
By the end of the night, they'll be dead, won't they, Dan?
I'll check with the front desk on the policy. To be fair,
yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
They want to stay another night. They got to pay for themselves. I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not
and certainly got to pay for their own breakfast.
you guys with a load of hookers over breakfast. I would love to see that. Oh, would you like some more beans, darling?
Just boring them to death about comics.
She's going, yeah, whatever. You promised me £20 of our breakfast. So I need some crack. There's nothing like a hooker at breakfast. I think it's a lovely thing to do. If you spent a night of, you know, sort of vaguely wild passion, you know, and then snored.
Hang on. Vaguely breakfast. Wild passion.
Yeah.
I'm not actually going to ask about that. I suddenly realised.
Yeah. Well, because you two shared a room. So.
Yeah. In the eye contact, though, didn't we?
No, I got.
I mean, Dan, seriously, top and tail means a completely different thing to Tony.
I gotta tell you, Sharknado bit my toe the other day.
That's outrageous.
I walked around with no shoes on, and he bit my big toe. I've got bite marks on my
toe. Don't walk
around
with no shoes on. Put your Crocs on like you're supposed to.
Do
anyway.
Crocs.
Maybe he shouldn't bite the toe.
Yeah, maybe it's down to him, the little bastard.
I presume that toe then went up his arse at full speed.
Here we go. What's happening?
Right. Recommendation? Hang on.
Right. So go to OKTrueBelievers.com to find out more. Get your tickets because it is going to be a great event full of great indie comics. So, yeah. No. All jokes aside, we love it. So
we've put out tweets and stuff about what's going to be available at the show. There's a ton of great comics that have been launched.
Yeah,
I can't wait to pick up my John Tucker comic.
Oh yeah, The King.
Because I haven't read it.
You haven't read it? Yes, brilliant. Yeah. We might actually get Dan's live review of it.
Yeah.
On there. That'd be good. Yeah, so we've got a couple more shout-outs before we do some recommendations. Who wants to do their shout-out next?
I've got a little list. Sorry, lads. So, first up, the deadline for LCAF applications is this week. If you're applying to LCAF, want to be in the running to get a table, then apply ASAP.
Yeah.
Me and Mr. Farrup have got a Kickstarter that drops this week
as
well.
Oh, yes.
Can't wait.
Yeah. You boys have seen it. It's Atomic Hercules. It's a first in a two-issue series.
You cannot just say Atomic Hercules. You put some drama into your voice.
It is Atomic Hercules.
God, Dan, it's not quite show him how it's done. How should he say Atomic Hercules?
Oh, fucking. Atomic Hercules.
Should I say it with Atomic Hercules? Is it like that? Because you know, that's probably out.
Hercules! Hercules! Anyone who's seen The Nutty Professor?
Somebody sent me that. What is that from?
The Nutty Professor.
Oh, right, yeah.
The Eddie Murphy.
Nutty Professor. Eddie Murphy, the clumps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's dropping, I think it's Wednesday it drops. It is incredibly transgressive and abusive. And it, I think if you know anything by me or like anything by me and Mr. Fout, you're going to enjoy it. It's we've had the most fun. I've just finished writing the second issue, and that gets worse.
It's pretty punk rock, I think. That's a good way to. You just don't give a fuck, do you?
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit outlaw comics. Anyone listens to Kayfabe and they know about sort of Tim Truman.
You totally need to call your own sort of press outlaw comics, don't you?
Yeah, it is good fun. We're talking about Wally Wood in the interview with Arena, and Ken Landgraf, who was a later years inker of Wally Wood's work, has done us a variant cover, which looks incredible. When the Kickstarter drops, you'll see it. It's worth putting a few quid in for. Not that Mr. Phelps' cover ain't great, because it's fucking ace, but wait till you see this black and white cover we've got from Ken. Adam reached out to him online after hearing about him being spoken about. I think Jim Rugg was quoting about how much he enjoyed his work. And he reached out and said, we do a cover. And he read the script and he saw the strip and loved it and said he'd do one. So we're really excited about that.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. It's not for the faint of heart.
No.
But there's a couple of imaginative ways to kill people in it, which I'm quite proud of. which Adam's drawn with aplomb.
It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's meant to be. It's fun. Yeah. And it goes somewhere in the second issue that will make you laugh, hopefully. So the world has gone to shit. The world hasn't gone to shit because of some war. It's gone to shit because a lot of millennials couldn't work out, wanted to do drama degrees or voiceover degrees rather than learning about nuclear fission. So there's no one left to run the nuclear power stations, which have all blown up and killed the Earth. And it's about a story that happens after that.
Brilliant.
There you go.
Writes itself.
Yeah.
Not saying anything that isn't said in the Kickstarter, but yeah, have a look at it. Please pledge. We'd love you to pledge.
Yeah.
And we're ready to go on it. It's print ready. So we're just getting some print costs and costs for a couple of other things, and then it'll be going out. So ASAP.
That's nice.
He does a comic a week, that geezer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. He can, and he does it well. A couple of other things I've got to mention. I had a sneak peek, as we all have had, at Chris Wildgoose's new book from Boom called Alienated.
Yes.
And the art is absolutely gorgeous, absolutely amazing. It comes out, I think it's a week Wednesday it comes out from them. There's a little bit of a Stranger Things vibe about it. A little bit of an ET vibe about it. I think you'll really like it. There's some design work in the latter stages of the book, which just looks so gorgeous. It's so jumps out the page at you. It's really good.
Chris is an amazing designer anyway.
Top geezer. There's a special edition of Storm Clouds from Ben Mitchell, which is being published to raise money for the relief of bushfires in Australia. And the project of this is being run by our friends at Good Comics. Go over to goodcomics.co.uk and buy a copy and help raise money to help the people in Australia. This is just on a scale that is just unbelievable out there, as I'm sure you've all seen.
It's just
unbelievable.
It's just heartbreaking in every way, shape and form. So.
And it totally. The environmental and the animals are now extinct because of this fire. It just breaks your heart. So go over to goodcomics.co.uk. I'll put some money in, as you should be as well. And also another thing to put money into and pledge about wildlife is Penned Gwyn, all about penguins by Alan Henderson, our pal. Love his books. And I know he doesn't mind me saying that the best things to read on the toilet ever invented are the penguin books. So go over and pledge that. Favorite of mine. Yeah. Okay, guys, you got any?
Yes. Well, do you want to go next, Dan? You go next.
Sure.
Go.
I've got Heads, Spiral of Lies on Kickstarter from our friend of the show, Rick Jackson.
Yep.
The story is, while investigating a robbery, private detective Steve Datson stumbles upon an unusual spate of crimes. Confounding heist, locked door mysteries, and mass hypnosis are only a flavor of what's to come. So, get stuck in. There's, I think it's three or four Heads comics.
He's been churning them out. He's absolutely been churning them out. They're great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really good. And there's some remarkable work going into. I love his covers as well. He does some great covers. Yeah, good stuff. He's a good lad. After all our work, we worked together with him on the Hall Chronicles, and he was most brilliant.
Of course. Yeah.
Stuff.
Another Kickstarter to look out for. It's a bit of a Kickstarter marathon, isn't it, this time? Galaxy Grappling Alliance, issue 1 from our friends in Art92. They've gone old school 80s wrestling and sci-fi collide, saving the galaxy one dropkick at a time. We love those guys, and they've already made their goal, but it's a crack. There's lots of like art sort of rewards and stuff you can get there, so definitely get on this if you love the graps as well. I know quite a lot of comic people love the graps. I love the graps.
I had the craps once.
Not the craps, Tony. Sorry. I know you're old, but like you can hear properly.
I know you're old.
Yeah.
don't muck about with the insults. Just go straight with them.
Yeah. 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 Well, essentially, Tony, you don't have long left, so I don't want to waste any time.
I'll tell you what else as well. My little green bike is coming out by Helena, who's part of Art92. Now I read that this week. I read both these this week, and there's a couple of little sequential bits of art, but it's mostly illustrations and prose, and it's a lovely little comic, like a little book. Really nice stuff.
Yeah.
Are they going to have this at any of those at Troops?
I thought they are. I think they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
I think so.
Bro.
Another one at Troops is Stop Procrastinating from Kev Brett, our pal from Nottingham Comic Con. It's kind of the second volume we've got of sarcastic, funny, cheeky stories about an artist's day to day. And it's nice. It's lighthearted, funny, nice sort of sarcastic and satirical sort of narrative style to it. And I really like his stuff. There you go.
Nice. And the final one, as we speak on this day, if you're listening to us on the Monday, of course, you know, if you listen to us later, well, it still counts, actually, because applications for tables for Thought Bubble 2020 are now open, or they will be open at some point. So the Comic-Con is from 14th to 15th of November 2020. That has already been announced. It was quite a big week last week of announcements, because they announced the dates. Book your hotels, people.
You booked yours, guys.
Yeah. They've announced the first wave of guests from the likes of Joe Hill, Raphael Albuquerque, Chip Zdarsky.
I can't wait to meet Raphael Albuquerque. I hope he's got some pages with him, because I want to buy a page of his. He does some.
Okay.
And also the likes of G. Willow Wilson, Becky Cloonan, Babs Tarr. Lineup.
Babs Tarr draws a good looking lady, doesn't she?
Yeah. Fantastic. I mean, will we speak to any of them? Probably not.
Last
time we did all right.
We'll be too scared.
Dave Johnson now, so that's fine.
But if you're looking to apply for a table, it's not going to be first come, first served. That's not how the Thought Bubble run it, because it's curated. But just be aware that table bookings are open. You know, applications are open. So, get on it, people. We're going to apply along with you and see if we can get in.
Yep.
So stay tuned. Go to thoughtbubblefestival.com. Follow them on social media, and it's cracking. Their social media, the Thought Bubble social media especially, has really stepped up over the last couple of years as well. They're really, really,
yeah, cracking. It really is. There's a real friendly community feel to what they do. I think there.
Yeah. So from all of that good stuff to some quick recommendations to see you off for the rest of the week. Who wants to go first?
Go on, one of you two go first. I've got to call mine up on my iPad.
I'm happy to go first, Vic.
Go on, Dan.
We got a review copy in. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, but I read it a couple of times and I've only got a chance to get around to
it
now.
Is this the Simon Roy one?
The Protector.
Yeah, I think it came in about over a month ago, man, actually. Yeah. I'll be honest with you, yeah. By Tracking Off on the art.
Yeah, it's published by Image Comics, written by Simon Roy, Daniel Benson, art by Artyom Trakhanov, colouring by Jason Wardy. Lettering by Hassan Otsumi Elahu. Please excuse me if I've got that wrong. And
the panel over here, doesn't he?
And he's got the cover, which is fantastic. It's by James Stokoe.
Yeah. Oh, he's a beast.
He's fucking. The cover on this is fucking amazing.
What, Stokoe and Trakhanov on a comic? Fucking hell.
Yeah, I fired it up money. And I was like, oh man, I fucking want this.
The
cover's very kind of like manga anime kind of.
like really intense action and there's shit flying everywhere. I was like, oh, I'm fucking well down for this. And I thought, I hope it kind of delivers. And it does. It's a fantastic comic. It's set like in far future. I think it's Earth. And it's become like a desert-like wasteland. I don't think there's been any like apocalypse to speak of, but it's just kind of, that's the way the world's kind of rolled around. And the story initially focuses on a girl called Mari, who's a slave and has kind of escapes her captors. And subsequently, they start trying to hunt her down over this kind of wasteland. And as she's kind of fleeing from them, she kind of falls into this hole, like an abandoned cave. And she kind of unwittingly wakes up this like long forgotten kind of like malevolent being. And then the story flicks back to another part of like the land where it's other people from her tribe. And they worship the Devas, which are like these godlike race. And they warn them that this kind of entity is woken up and it needs to be fucking dealt with. So like the aging war chief, who's known as the First Knife, sort of says, well, I have to go and deal with this. And he takes off. And that's where the end of the first issue kind of rounds off. So it's a lot of setup in the first issue.
But it's with this sort of stuff, you've got to do world building, haven't you? You've got to hit them hard with this is a world that you need to know more about. So there is a certain amount of information you have to give someone.
Yeah, of course there is with this, it's not out yet. Is it out next week?
It is out 29th of January. So as we speak, it's this Wednesday, folks.
Okay. So yeah, a couple of days' time it'll be out.
There's a ton of exposition, like in the first issue. I'd like more time to breathe, but I'm going to give it, you can give it a pass because it is the first issue. It needs to get all this stuff out there. Do you know what I mean? And it's great. The world building is fantastic. It kind of gives you a world that I certainly haven't sort of been in before. The art stuff by Trakanov, oh man, it's amazing. Yeah, it's got like a real kind of organic feeling to it, but it's quite cartoony and fleshy and rough.
Just the line, there's like an edge to just the line, isn't there? Unsettling style. There's a rawness to his stuff, but it's so accomplished, you know.
If you're listening, we'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, we would. In fact, I've sent him, we've reviewed his stuff a couple of times. I've sent him messages and he's always replied back.
Now every single one of us have recommended a book that he's done artwork on.
Even I would say the sound effects in the book, I'm going to murder this chap's name again, Otsamani Elihu. It's like hand done sound effects.
Works
with a comic. Yeah. It's like kind of a letter hasn't just banged on the old digital ones. It's like really taken time with it, and it kind of gives it a feeling of a European comic throughout. Like a lot of work gone into it.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd love it. I'm on board. I mean, if you like those Prophet comics that came out relatively recently from Image.
It's got
a very similar flavour, and I think you enjoy this.
Yeah, because Simon wrote Prophet, didn't he?
Yeah,
of course he did. Yeah, they were very well thought of, and I'm hoping this is going to get the same heat. Trakanov should be a big deal. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was thinking about.
I say you can't not see the cover to this and think, "Fucking hell, I want that." Yeah. It's great.
But that, you know. Image, I love Image. They're normally where I get a lot of my, you know, weekly comics now, because there's such a diverse range of stories, titles, all kinds. I mean, you people know the amount of time that I've recommended Image books on this show. The only thing I worry about with Image is there's so much that titles may get overlooked.
They're forever. I mean, I literally look at comics, you know, and listings of comics and comics on shelves, and there's Image books that just pass me by for months, and I think, hang on a minute, how is that on issue number 4 and I've never heard of it?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, definitely be on the lookout for this. It looks cracking. So, and Dan wants to read more, so don't disappoint him.
Yes.
Yeah, never disappoint the butcher.
Never disappoint the butcher. as for me, I'm going to discuss a Kickstarter reward that came through the other day. A couple of weeks ago it turned up, but I thought I'd talk about it this week. It's from our boys at Reckless Hero. It's The Last Sheriff Part 6.
Oh, nice.
They're churning out this series.
Fucking hell, yeah. Doing well on that, aren't they?
Yeah. And obviously the Kickstarter rewards as well. There were some lovely prints, badges. I got my Last Sheriff T-shirt, which is brilliant. So if you see,
I've got one of them.
Yeah, if you see, it's a really nicely designed T-shirt. And if you see the boys at show, pick one up because it's just really cool. It's got brilliant artwork and there's a nice design on it. Plus, it's really comfy. Have you worn yours yet, Tony?
Yeah, I wear it all the time. Yeah, I wear it on Hollywood Boulevard and
Hollywood Boulevard.
I'm going to take pictures of me in it on Glem and send it to the boys, I think.
Hey, nice one.
Yeah, only it'll be like Winnie the Pooh. You won't have any trousers on, right?
That'd be the French people's house when they've all gone to bed.
Oh dear. Anyway, The Last Sheriff, issue 6, written by Chris Jenkins, illustrated by David Tinto, cover by Chris Imber, colours and letters by Chris Jenkins. The story is just ticking on with great post-apocalyptic action, part western, part anime, just all awesome. It's fantastic. And the reason I wanted to mention, I mean, because The Last Sheriff has been mentioned a few times on this show. At some point, we've either mentioned that their Kickstarters or the fantastic books. It's high. The quality of the Reckless Hero guys is pretty much just super professional. Mm-hmm. Not just the guys that we know, but the artists they bring on board. I know Tinto was worked with Sean Dobie on Descending Outlands. So
nice.
Vander was on an issue, wasn't he?
Yeah. Brian Vander was on the issue, so it's always cracking stuff, but it's always in keeping with the style of the universe that they're set up, you know. I think they're very conscious of the look and feel of their books, and Chris Jenkins' colouring is always fantastic.
Yeah,
the writing itself as well is top notch, and something happens in this issue that I did not expect. Have either of you guys read this issue yet?
No,
I haven't, no.
It's one of the more shocking moments I've read in a comic series for a while. I didn't expect them to go there, and they went there. There's a splash page. I mean, there's a couple of splash pages in this series because it's full of beautiful art. And what better way to show beautiful art in a comic book than just letting an artist go crazy on a full page? But there's a specific page in mind that has a moment that changes everything. You know, tired of hearing this month in West Coast Avengers, everything changes. And you read it and you think, well, not much has really changed.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to reboot it.
Yeah. The only thing that would change would be the creative team.
The number. Back to number one.
Yeah, and the number. Whereas in this series, something changes. Something major. The story's great as well. So, if you've got issues 1 to 5, issue 6 is just more of the same. You're going to love it. If you haven't read The Last Sheriff yet, get on it, whether it be digital or if you see them at a show. Chris is always, with the Reckless Heroes boys, they always have like a great setup. And I know they sell lots of prints and artwork, and Chris has a style. You're constantly seeing him drawing at shows. But he doesn't stop with commissions. But they've got 6 issues of, as well as their art books, they've got 6 issues of this comic now on their table. So if you see Reckless Hero, I mean, as much as we all love their artwork, go up to the table and just pick up all the comics. Don't even look at any of the other stuff. Just pick up all the comics and buy them.
Yeah, don't make eye contact with him.
Just say, just give them money. And don't even talk to them. Just walk away. Pay them.
If they try and talk to you, just spit on the floor.
Just chimp
them. Do one in your hands and throw it at them.
No, Tony. You've got to stop doing that.
It's a skill. Always have one ready. You know, it's just sticking its head out.
No, yeah. Never. I don't believe in your theory of always having one in the chamber. I think it's disgusting.
Front chamber.
Yeah.
I'm 52 years old. I can't want to have it in the front chamber all the time anymore.
No. Anyway, from that fantastic comic, Tony, sign us off. What have you got this week?
Well, just as a off subject, I'm staring at a rather romantic picture of the three of us and John Wagner on my wall at the moment.
Hey. I'm looking at that as well.
There you go.
Not your wall.
No, I just leaned back in my rocking chair and looked at this picture and thought, oh, that's nice. I remember those days.
Yeah, the good old days.
Oh, and there's a Last Sheriff banner in the background.
There you go. There isn't there. There you go. I knew I was drawn to it. I'm going to review a book, recommend a book called Walking Like an Exorcist. It's 90 pages. It's actually number 8 in the Human Being series by our pal Stuart J. McCune, published by Millicent Barnes, full colour. This is quite something. This is genuinely quite something. It's I can never stress enough the sort of quality of comics that Stuart puts out, at, like the guys at Reckless Hero, and like some other guys. They put out these genuinely individual, well thought out, well constructed, well presented books, like, regularly.
Yeah.
Without, like, complaining about everything online, and without, you know, there's just this wanting to create comics, which I really do admire in him. And this is another one of the ones that is sort of unsettlingly weird. This one has a little bit more of a humorous sort of slant to it. There is a sex scene in it, and Stuart did tell me that I was in his head while he was drawing the sex scene, which, you know, I'm in a lot of people's heads during sex scenes. Do you know what I mean?
Arousing.
Yeah. Mostly just to make them go longer. You know, I usually think of Mother Teresa or dead kittens, but sometimes, you know, people think of me. But
Dear God.
What?
Nothing. Just carry on.
Yeah, it's actually a standalone. I shouldn't make jokes because it does it a disservice, but it's a standalone graphic novel. And so don't worry about, like, not being hooked into the Human Being series, which is, this is the 8th installment of. You don't need to. You can just get this book. It opens, you know, what was that movie you and I watched recently, Vince? You told me it was one of your favourites. It's like a whodunit, who's the werewolf movie.
Oh, The Beast Must Die.
The Beast Must Die.
Yeah.
I was thinking of that as I was reading the intro. They've got like an intro page with all the characters, and there's some flipping weird people in this. I wrote down a couple. It says, Olivia Forrest, a.k.a. Blinky, an ability to erase human life by blinking. Uncle Bobby, he runs the Shadow House, a network of houses that contain other houses that enable instant travel between them. The Key, who is one of the characters, the ability to open reality gates. So it's got that sort of list of characters, which we've all got that collector mentality. It kind of appeals to us. Do you remember when Marvel used to do the Marvel Guide to the Universe type books, and every page would be a different character? And it kind of appeals to our collector mentality, doesn't it? It's sort of, we're a little bit OCD. We need to know who's that character who looks like a bear. Do you know what I mean? It's like that sort of thing, isn't it? You know? I like to read Stuart's books. This sounds strange. And we all read comics in different places, and we all, you know, we're comfortable. Some of us sit on a couch, or some of us read them on the toilet or whatever. But I kind of like to read them in public places. I don't know why. I really like to read them in coffee shops where I'm surrounded by the sort of the humdrum and the irritating and the boring and the annoying. And, you know, the I read these in the coffee shop near Orbital on Saturday morning, and I've got the crazies of West London surrounded me. But his books are so strange and so weird that there's this sort of, it's like you enter a parallel universe of being slightly out yourself while you're reading his books, but surrounded by the sort of boringness of real life. It's an interesting approach I like to take of it, and it always sort of makes it a reading experience that I always remember. I often read his books a couple of times. This opens on a couple of splash pages. It opens on a couple of, like, very strong and just peculiar images that have got a sort of hypnotic quality to them. They're like a scary aspect. And a lot of his issues are worked on in an otherworldly, other voice narration. And he plays in that sort of Burroughs-y type, you know, Naked Lunch, where he travels to the what country does he go to in Naked Lunch, Burroughs, after he kills his wife? He goes to, it's not Tunisia or it's someone like that. I can't remember a bit, but he goes to this other country, and it's strange. There's something wrong about it. There's something not right about it. It's not really where he's gone. And in a lot of Stuart's books, he travels to places that you think you know, but they're presented in a slightly different way that is unsettling. He uses language that is rather creepy, but then there'll be a discussion. There's an echoey quality to his voices in your mind that it's got a strange. It gives you a strange sensation. Isn't it? It takes you out of it. But then suddenly he'll drop something just pragmatically straightforward right into the middle of it, and it's not jarring, but it just shakes you a bit, so you realise what's going on. So one character, this really creepy character, says, "Okay, I'll get in children's attics to hide in them. So let's get on with this." And you think, fuck me, that's weird. That's just unsettling. And then the narration is the woman going, Bobby always talks like this because he seems like he's got something in his teeth. And you're like, oh, that's, and you, but suddenly it gives you that emphasis of this person talking. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, it's just there's another dimension to it almost, you know. His characters exist in a sort of vicious, nasty, violent, suddenish. There's a sudden movement to them that they go from quiet to sudden straight away, and you feel slightly threatened by it. And he overlaps dialogue on occasions. And then once you get through this book and you begin to read it, I messaged him saying, "Oh, you sneaky bastard! This is a heist book, and it's actually a robbery book. It's actually they go and rob a kind of a bank." Sort of heist thing, you know.
Okay.
They travel to the I think it's the California desert off the back of my head, I can't remember, but they travel to this land of sort of long shadows and bright sun and big landscapes, and you know, the big land in front of them, and it's in this it's a bank robbery job, and it really, it's kind of almost in a way his most sort of straightforward narrative, but it twists your melon all the time.
Okay.
There's a couple of sisters in it who look like, I don't know, they look like some kind of sort of spooky cosmic characters who speak with a slight humor and a sort of bizarre knowingness. And there's you always sense that sort of insane playfulness that's behind them in the darker moments. It's genuinely like nothing else you'll read. The art is its own character. There's a drawn look to some of the faces of the characters, and there's a brightness and a darkness all at once in some of the art and the color. And there's a bloodshotness to the shock you get from it. It's strange. There's one character. He opens a door. There's a knock at the door, and he opens the door, and he's got this sort of, just fuck me, look at his face. What's wrong with him? He's all grey and his eyes are all bloodshot, and he's just like this sort of ravenous, horrible worm faced man standing there, and you think, fuck me, what's going on here? And then you look behind him and you can see that on the shelf behind him, he's actually in the bathroom, and you can see a bottle of green mouthwash, and you think, this is just like moments like that just so because he draws the real life with the horror, it's interesting. If you think this is going to be like Ocean's 8, you're going to be completely wrong. Go home, never look at this comic. If Ocean's 8 was a film you liked, I've got to be honest with you, walk away. But it's the stuff that I really like. Imagine the Sting where Robert Redford pulls Robert Shaw's head off by his spine and beats people to death with the head. Then you're probably nearer it, I suppose. It's a great stuff. There's not much point to the futures and the past is the quote in it, which I just, shit just is. That's a really great quote. I really like that. Blink and you'll miss it. Find Stuart on millicentbarnescomics@gmail.com is his email. millicentbarnescomics.bigcartel.com is where you can buy all his stuff. There's loads of stuff on there well worth buying. I know he's got a couple of books on Comic House. If you want a little intro, see what he's doing, see what his style's like. It's probably not for everyone, but I think if you've got a brain on you, you're going to dig it. At SJ McCune MBC on Instagram. On Twitter, he's at Stuart McCune. And he's a big supporter of us. In the back of it is a really nice little sketchbook, shows some of the work he's done. I own some of the original pages from A Human Being's issue previously. He kindly gave me some of the sketches from them. He does one of those, is it called an Anna Kappa chart? You know, like an association chart that charts the relationship between all the characters.
Yes.
There's a whole page of that. Yeah, it's like really nice detail, really nice stuff to see. It's really good. You can, as I say, don't worry about worrying about all the human beings that's been going 8 issues. Don't worry about it. Just jump in this one. And he's also a guy who's a machine around the Kickstarter. If you ever put any money into as I always do, he's one of the few people I sort of will immediately back. And I'm always ashamed of myself if I'm, you know, like the fifth backer. I always want to be one of the first backers in this stuff because I really like it. You'll get it in. You'll get it as soon as it's done. You'll get it quickly. You'll get it in good time. And you'll get it with loads of extra stuff included. He's a real artist around that sort of thing. So look out for it. So it is called Walk In Like an Exorcist, and you can go to Millicent Barnes Comics and find a copy. Yeah, that's my one.
Nice.
So brilliant.
What another fantastic recommendation to end this week's show on. So we hope you enjoyed this week's episode where we talked about everything, really. And we highly recommend you go check out just any graphic novel or comic from outside your personal bubble. Like Europe and beyond, you know, the comics all over the world, because there's fantastic stuff being made everywhere. And it may be even be stuff that you don't even realise you're going to like. Like we talked about biographical comics. They're very good. So, yeah, and thanks.
And if you get on their mailer, Irina and Nazelli prepare like a little reading list depending on what sort of subject you're into.
Yeah.
So get on the Europe Comics mailer and then you get, historical or autobiographical or comedy or, you know, this sort of thing. It comes out. It's a regular one. I really enjoy it. Enjoy reading it. Yeah.
And thanks again to Irina for joining us this week and basically putting up with us. No. We love her. She's one of the family now as well. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. If there's anything you want to ask about or if there's any events or anything like that that you want us to give a shout out to on the show, we're always available to shout that stuff out. So give us an email, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, if you've got an upcoming comic you want us to know about, send us an email. Follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod, where we'll be announcing the latest guests or whatever, or shouting about this show or doing whatever we do on a weekly basis on there. And if you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. If you just want to talk about comics without being hard sold anything, or if you just want to talk about conventions, or maybe you're making your own comics and you just want a bit of advice about something, then go to the Facebook group Awesome Comics Talk, because that's a fantastic community of people there. And we don't have much to do with it. They're all just fantastic by themselves. Yep. So thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe, leave a review, and just generally just get the word out about the show. We haven't checked the reviews recently.
We haven't had one for a while.
Have you checked recently?
Yeah, look, last week.
Oh, right. Well, ignore what I just said then. But if you listen to us on any other networks like Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what other networks are we on, Tony?
We're on Pod. What does an editor do again?
Timely. depends on your editor, Tony. You know that.
Yeah.
Pay them enough and they'll do anything, even kill a man. Yeah.
Tony's my editor.
I am. That's true. Yeah. All each other's editor. We're like a snake of editors eating ourselves.
Oh my god! What an image! It's like that film Society. Oh god!
Yes.
Jesus. Always end on a yes.
I've had a load of Full Moons that you can watch on. I think it's Amazon Prime. The Elvira. If you look for Elvira on Amazon Prime, she does like an intro, and it's like 20 different Full Moon movies.
Nice. Oh, okay.
Stuff that you can't find anywhere else. Yeah.
Nice.
That's brilliant. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, let's go and watch some now, Dan. Let's go off and do that. But before we do that, where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
And everyoneanything.blogspot.com or in me flouncing about in Angoulême, looking cool.
Yeah. And while you're away, where can people buy your comics?
everyoneanything.bigcartel.com.
There you go.
Yes.
Yes. Dan, where can people find your stuff?
You can find me on Twitter @VanguardComic, and you can read Vanguard@VanguardComic.com. Nice. And you can buy book 3 at Troops this Saturday.
Yes, and it will be available. Yeah, you will, if you've got any copies left, of course.
Yeah, I'll be putting out the details. We can get it digitally and all that shit, all that jazz. I almost said shit there.
Well, you just did. So stay tuned to Dan's social media if you can't make it to the Troops, but you want a copy of Vanguard Volume 3. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter @JesterDiablo, and thank you very much again for listening to this episode. We've got more stuff lined up. We're scheduling and we're planning stuff for the next couple of months.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. And we'll see you next week for more comics fun in some kind of way. Tony might be recovering from his travel.
I'm going to do some interviews as well.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Next week's going to be an audio centric show. Actually, every week's
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a catch up with AJ Dungo, because remember I interviewed him before the book came out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to interview him, see how it's been, because it's been like an incredible reception for it. So I might do a little 10 minutes with him.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah. Look forward to that. But until then, thank you for listening. Go forth, read loads of cool comics. And on Wednesday, New Comic Book Day, be sure to post your favourite covers from your digital browse, because we love seeing all that.
Yep.
And from everyone at Awesome Pod HQ, Dan, Tony and myself, have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics. And as always...
stay awesome.
Stay awesome.
right. Okay.
We're not editing it.
No, we're not editing it. I'm not editing that, but we need to talk about this off air. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.